Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Wake up. Wake up. What's going on, everybody? Good morning. How are you? Nice to be with you. With you for the next 4 hours back in studio today.
4 hours show.
4 hours. Are you
Thank
ready?
Goodness, yeah. It feels like I get to go back to work again.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been out on strike or something. A Vandy-imposed strike. Mark Vandermeer said, we're going to come in and talk on your airwaves and sleep with your women for a couple of weeks while Tyson's training camp is
going on.
Slept
with our women. I think they just wanted a couple of hours of airtime.
If anything, we would have been the ones with the opportunity to do that. Because it's like, oh, yeah, you're going to show up to work, buddy? I got 2 hours.
Hey, guess what? Done at 8 o'clock. We're going to go hit the Denny's and then go find your lady.
It's one of my favorite times of, remember that? Well, I probably shouldn't get too much into this.
No, go ahead. You're already out on the plank. Go ahead.
My senior year in high school, like the summer before my senior year or freshman year in college when I was working on the farm, and I'd go in and I'd go in at like 3:30 in the morning, and I was working half days, so I'd be done at like 10 o'clock, and then I'd just go over to my girlfriend's house.
Idle hands in the devil's workshop,
my
buddy.
My girlfriend's parents were both at work, and I'd go over and spend the morning with my girlfriend.
The morning.
Life was good. It was a really good time in my life. Yeah.
It was, yeah, just a lot of primal things you were doing there.
Yeah, and then I'd go eat like 8 Big Macs and suffer no repercussions.
Yeah. the metabolism was good. The libido was good.
Yeah, I could eat a bunch of McDonald's in the afternoon, no repercussions, then like drink a 12-pack of Labatt's, and then start it all over the next
Labatt's.
Day. Labatt's. I would do my workouts, too. I would go work out, then go and then go drink a bunch of beer with my
with
friends.
With a Labatt's.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So we are here. We are with you till 10 o'clock. My name is Sean Pendergast. To my left is original Texan Seth Payne. Seth, we'll be back at it tomorrow and Wednesday out at Texans training camp. So we get the benefit of air conditioning for a day in here today. We actually got the benefit of air conditioning yesterday because the practice was indoors, and there were a lot of your former teammates, a lot of former Texans over there yesterday. Did it feel like a high school reunion
I kind of forgot that I was supposed to be working because you and I were supposed to go do an interview with a coach after practice. But I remembered that there was this Texans alumni event. It was like an NFL veterans, I think they call them gridiron legends now. I'm personally not comfortable with that term. But they insist on using the term legends.
It's all like, the fellas seem pretty comfortable with their t-shirts on yesterday.
Well, I mean, they give you cool t-shirts, so you wear the t-shirts.
It says legend on it.
But I came back over for press availability, and I was like, oh, wait, yeah, I RSVP'd for this event, and I saw all my friends. And it was almost just like, when you let a dog go play at the dog park or something. I went off, and I saw everybody, and we got to hang out. We got to hang out in a different part of practice where we could watch stuff more up close than we usually do when we're sitting there with the press. And then I completely forgot about media availability afterwards and everything.
I had your back.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I talked to Anthony Weaver, but you got to talk to Anthony Weaver before I did.
I was talking to Weaver.
He was at the Legend Dealio.
Yep, and because after practice, you know, Anthony Weaver and TJ Yates and Andre Johnson and Akeem Dent were all, and I don't know if Cushing stuck around. I didn't notice but a bunch of those guys, like guys that are on the staff, got to hang out with a bunch of us that were former Texans. So that was cool too, because I got to talk to TJ for a little while about the offensive line and kind of his transition into that. He is blown away by Max Sharping's intelligence.
Apparently, really?
Yeah. Apparently this guy's like Goodwill Hunting or something.
Sharping.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very encouraged hearing him talk about Max
you
Sharping.
Interviewed him. You and Rick Kamla interviewed him on Saturday or
Sunday?
Yeah. Sunday. Yeah. Sunday. Cause it was the padded practice. Cause he was carrying other people's pads around. Did you get a Goodwill Hunting vibe off of Max Sharp?
I got it was one of those, this kid's mature beyond his years vibe. So I don't know. Like it's not like I had him sit down and break down the Pythagorean theorem or something like that. But he was, I was pretty impressed with him. But then TJ was kind of talking about on the field too, just how smart he is, how well he's picked up the scheme.
Was he asked about him specifically, or did he volunteer that information?
I can't remember. We were just chatting off the record. I don't know. I feel even weird even saying, even though this wouldn't be any scandalous, I feel weird even like just relaying this part of the conversation.
Do you have anything else that you can share?
From
6
TJ?
a.m.
No, it was all very scandalous after that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, no, because the thing I always want to talk to about these guys, like players that transition into coaching, is how's the transition for the family? Because it's a big difference. But TJ's wife's dad was a football coach.
Okay, so she's been around it.
Yeah, yeah. For her, it's no big deal. Okay. You know. And then it was cool seeing O'Brien kind of out there with a bunch of the guys, the younger guys that he had coached, obviously, were out there. It was cool seeing him.
So he was out there mingling with
all you guys? Yeah, O'Brien stuck around for a little while afterwards.
That's cool.
And, but I got to, I'd never actually talked to Andre Hale very much, so I got to talk to Hale for a little while.
Oh, he was there yesterday,
too? Yeah, Andre Hale was there. And it was funny because during...
It's one of those things where I feel old now. Andre Hale is a legend.
I know.
Of course, he's like 28.
Well, we're standing on the sideline, and Justin Reed came over, and it was like in the middle of practice, Justin Reed and Andre Hale are talking just like they're teammates, which they were just a year
ago. Yeah, like 8 months ago.
It's so weird that it was just in March that Andre Hale retired.
That's right.
Was it even later than that? I think it was April. So... But it was cool to talk to Andre Hale because remember Andre Hale had done this internship with Headspace, which is that meditation app.
Yep.
So Andre and I were kind of talking about meditation and how I wished I had done it when I was a player because you do kind of takes you out of being so stressed out about stuff all the time.
Sure.
You kind of put perspective on everything. So we talked about that and he's like, I don't think he's coming back, man. I think I predicted that he would spend a year away from football and kind of get perspective on things and then maybe decide that he missed it. But it seems like he's got a pretty good plan for what he wants to do moving forward.
And yeah, he feels like, with Andre Hale, it feels like, okay, he's, what is he like? He's probably 28 years old, something like that. He just came in the league 5 years ago. He's got a few million bucks in the bank. He's got a Vanderbilt degree. The dude beat cancer.
But he also, remember though, he beat cancer and his father passed away at the same time.
And that's true.
There's a whole lot to process. And he was doing, and he was preparing for a football season while he was doing all that. So I always wondered, just how much of that was just almost being shell-shocked as you come out the other end of the tunnel. But he got his real estate license, which was cool then, too.
Andre Hale did?
Yeah, then I got
Why is he running up the score on us, man?
I got to play.
All his internships and real estate licenses. He's beating cancer.
Yeah,
I forget what I had for breakfast yesterday.
Well, it's just cool then. And I got to play like old guy networker because I remember Mike Quinn, who was a backup quarterback here in the first few years.
Yeah.
He's done real well for himself in commercial real estate. So I grabbed Andre by the arm. I was like, come here, young whippersnapper. And I brought him over to introduce him to Mike Quinn.
Oh, yeah. You're like a match.com for aspiring NFL business folk.
That's right. I'm going to be one of these guys. And then I'm going to demand 10% of any future deals.
Man, make sure they chip some off for you.
I enabled this. I facilitated this. I talked to Travis, which obviously, Travis Johnson and I see each other all the time. It wasn't like, Travis and I saw
no
each other.
No way.
I was like, Travis. He's like, Seth. Holy crap. It's been like a week.
I saw you at practice on Saturday. What did he have to say?
Well, I was glad to talk to Travis because I hadn't put the two and two together. This young Roderick Johnson, the third-year player, that's been taking the bulk of the backup snaps at offensive tackle, both left and right, and who impressed me in the game on Thursday, that obviously Travis is a Florida State guy and Roderick Johnson's a Florida State guy. Travis knows anything and everything about every Florida State guy. And Travis was talking about how, a couple years ago when Roderick Johnson came out, he'd already been, I don't know if he was a two-time All-American, he was like two-time All-ACC or whatever he was at the time. He was pretty accomplished already as an offensive lineman. And Travis had told him he should stay in for another year. Roderick was like, I'm going to go sow my oats. And he didn't, I don't know if he got drafted late or didn't get drafted at all. But Travis was impressed with him as a college player. Roderick Johnson has really come along. He's another guy I talked about with TJ Yates. And it's funny, I really like the kid because he plays way above his athleticism.
Fifth-round pick, 2017.
Yeah, okay, fifth-round pick to Cleveland. So, on Thursday, I watch Roderick Johnson, and I'm thinking, okay, I've seen this kid play a lot in practice, and now he's the first guy in for Matt Khalil, then he goes to right tackle when Chantrell Henderson goes out, and he did pretty well for himself. So I went out and I watched him more closely in practice this weekend, and you would watch him. You can see how a guy like Roderick maybe gets lost in the shuffle during OTAs because he's not really athletic, so he doesn't flash at you. but he's really busted his butt in terms of technique and everything. Like, he really looks way more polished than he did last year. This kid might end up being the swing tackle for the Texans this year.
Okay, Matt Khalil does not look good right now.
No.
Okay, is Roderick Johnson a potential solution to start for this team? And how scary would that be if Roderick Johnson were starting for this team?
There's no way in hell I would ever predict that that's what's going to happen, because I just don't know, because I haven't seen the kid in an actual like regular season game that matters.
Sure.
At this point, just seeing what I've seen between the two of those, between Khalil and Roderick Johnson, I've been more impressed with Roderick Johnson. Like, if I had to start with a clean slate and say, all right, which one of these guys was a higher draft pick, I'd be like, ah, probably that Roderick Johnson kid that isn't getting beat like a turnstile, you know? Like, that's how it is. Now, there's this, too, and I talked to Wade Smith about this. Wade and I, another cheerful
was
reunion.
Was Wade there, too, yesterday?
Yeah, Wade was okay. there, too. And, you know, that's, again,
it's good that you got to
again.
Catch up with Wade.
Wade, I've seen you. I you saw you 10 days ago. That's right. Oh, no, you were in on Thursday. And I think, is he coming in today?
Today is Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday, and that's how we've started changing.
Yeah, so
we might have Wade in later today.
Hey, Jonesy, we may have Wade in. Just so you know.
None of us know.
FYI.
But Wade made the point that, like, okay, there is still the fact that Khalil is a veteran, and those first few weeks of training camp, when you're still working on stuff and you're not quite necessarily feeling it, it's different than getting out there when the lights are on and when there's pressure. And so you can't just sit here and say, wow, because it's one guy's look better in non-full contact drills, that he's better than Khalil. I don't know. I understand what Wade is saying. The only thing I would say is, if you're I don't care how old you are, when you're on a new team, you're busting your ass to try to impress people.
Sure.
So Khalil is trying to bust his ass and impress people, and that's the product we're getting, I have not been pleased. B, if he's not busting his ass trying to impress people, I am unimpressed then by that. Because, like, what kind of competitiveness is that?
He's got to be, Matt Khalil's got to be staring at his football mortality right now. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine that motivation is an issue for him.
I would
like,
think
this
so.
Is it.
Like, I can't imagine anybody gave him the offer that the Texans did. That was my first question when the Texans gave him this offer. Now, a lot of this is regular season money. He's not guaranteed a ton of money.
He got $2.25 million, I believe, as a signing bonus. Yeah, that's the only part he's guaranteed.
And I don't know
how great is that.
I don't know who else would have offered that to him. I don't quite understand it.
Make no mistake, that $2.25 million he's getting in large part because at one point he was the fourth overall pick in the draft.
Right.
Because his career doesn't merit you giving him $2.25 million.
Or his recent injury history.
Right, right. The $2.25 million is coming from the Texans hoping that whatever ceiling existed for him before still exists, that the ceiling hasn't been lowered by about 10 feet.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess, what was their backup plan other than that? Obviously,
Donald Penn was out there.
No, and they drafted a guy that they were thinking is an offensive tackle who's now playing guard. And there's not a time this year where I'm going to sit and say, wow, Titus Howard should be further along. Because it's a 100% genuine crapshoot when it comes to offensive linemen. A lot of guys that look really polished end up struggling the rookie year, but then go on to be good players. You know, like Dwayne Brown's a classic example here of a guy that struggled a lot in his first year and then really got it figured out and was just fine.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.